It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, we're out of the gate. JT live from Raiders headquarters today on a really busy day. As we're just on radio today, not on YouTube, because starting next Wednesday, every Wednesday, this show will be broadcast on the Raiders YouTube channel, which I'm really excited about. Right now on the Raiders YouTube channel is the coach. He's live. So what we're going to do normally is we're going to talk to the coach first. I just interviewed Coach Pierce about 15 minutes ago. He sat down with me exclusively before he went downstairs to the media session here at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. And normally we're probably not going to switch it up. We'll figure out what we're going to do. We'll talk to Q Myers. He'll make the decision. But we're going to get the coach on Wednesdays going forward. We used to get him on Thursdays. Now this year we'll get him on Wednesdays, which I'm excited about. So without further ado, let me go live to Coach Antonio Pierce. He's downstairs addressing the media.
I know. It must be a game this week. It must be week one.
You guys obviously know the Chargers well. They got a new coach. What do you look for when you look at Jim Harbaugh coach team?
Well-coached team, physical, get after it. Everywhere he goes, he wins. Ultimate respect for Harbaugh and what he's done in the past, both in collegiate and professional.
Well, how much does it change the preparation process? Having obviously, you know what Harbaugh's done in the past, doing it in college, but it's a new staff, new people in there. How much does it change that preparation process for you guys?
I think it's just a little difficult this time because we haven't seen anything on film. You know, in preseason, he didn't play any of his starters. A lot of guys didn't show up on tape. So you got to go back in the archives, right? You got a little bit of Michigan. You got maybe some Baltimore, some Niners stuff you can look at. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to make some adjustments in the game, and that's what we're prepared to do.
Got an update on Brock Bowers, if he's going to be at practice.
Yeah, he'll be at practice, ready to go. We're good to go. Be at practice, ready to go.
You mentioned having to make adjustments. You know, coach knows almost double-digit games now as a head coach. What have you learned the most about that process, about what it takes to pull out those adjustments in game?
Yeah, just you got to be prepared. You got to think ahead. I mean, there's a lot of things that's going to come up in this game, either through personnel, scheme, a player that, you know, what's his role, and then you find out at halftime. And that's what we really spent the last 2 weeks on. You know, even before this upcoming week, going into the Niners week, we're already, you know, kind of dialed in on the Chargers. I think for all of us as a staff, and myself included, just to keep pounding away on film and go back as far as we can. And you don't want to chase ghosts, right? You want to go back and look at the 2011 season with Harbaugh, but maybe you do, you know. And those two gentlemen been around each other, him and Greg Roman. So with any little tidbits we can do, we got a pretty good staff upstairs that does a great job of breaking down film. And then listen, at the end of the day, you know, you got to make the adjustments and the players got to be able to adapt to it.
Did you guys make any team captain? Did you guys select team captains yet?
Yeah, we'll probably do that later on this weekend.
For you personally, being a permanent coach in your first game this weekend versus the games you coached last year as an intern?
No, I'm approaching the exact same way, to be honest. I mean, I never, when I got the interim, I wasn't trying to give it up. So I was, in my head, I was permanent. I know what the tag said. So no different in my approach. I do have more time to prepare, though, obviously. You know, when that happened last year, I was in a 72, 96-hour window to get ready for a game. This has been a lot different, preparing, going through a whole calendar year, you know, going through the offseason, going through training camp, just the process with Telesco as well, with our roster, and really more importantly, our coordinators, right? Just coming up like, what do we want to be? What's our identity? What's our DNA? What do we want to look like and sound like when you guys watch us play on Sundays?
Coach, you talked about the respect you have for Coach Harbaugh, and you guys were both linked to this job during the offseason. Do you internalize that different from a coach's perspective now, where maybe as a player, that'd be bulletin board material, further motivate you as a player, and it's different now as a coach? Or
no, ultimate respect. If it's between me and Harbaugh, that's not a bad thing. AP standing here, though.
You mentioned Brock will be back at practice. You're expected to be ready to go for Sunday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ready to go.
You talked about your career going to take a much different trajectory. You talked about media at one point. What ultimately led to your decision in coaching? Also, you interned at Howard Stern many years ago. What do you remember about that?
Howard Stern? I don't think we can say it in this room. we got to have a happy hour. No, listen, the Howard Stern deal was great. I was, you know, doing a weekly show with NFL radio on Sirius Radio throughout the season when I played for the Giants. And after winning the Super Bowl, just talked to them about media stuff and said, you know, I'll intern. So I did Jamie Foxx and some other ones. And then they said, what about Howard Stern? I'm like, wow, that's different. That's a different fan base. And it was cool because the first day was really behind the scenes, kind of just to get to know how everything works via radio and how Howard Stern operates in his production meetings. And then, you know, when it got, you know, behind the camera, it was special. But he's a dynamic individual, very sharp, very calculated in how he does things. Learned a lot from him, kind of got me the urge to get into media. And why I got into media and why I stopped. I mean, you know, I played in New York City, had a lot of cameras and mics in front of my face. Played with Tiki Barber and Strahan, who got into media right away as well, good friends of mine. And, you know, when I had an injury with my neck, and couldn't play no more, had a lot of opportunities. So jumped in that. And putting on makeup and looking at a camera for 8 years was pretty cool in the AC unit, but I missed being in the locker room, missed competing, missing that fire burning in my stomach, that competitive drive, and got an opportunity to coach at a high school at Long Beach Poly, and the rest is history. Then I had opportunities to go to the league several times and just wasn't ready because I had other things going on business-wise, and when the opportunity came, I went full force.
Coach, as you look at the two starts that you've had, interim against the Giants, now coming back to L.A. with the Chargers, has that given you any other kind of special meaning for you, being that you're facing like kind of a home crowd, home team in L.A., and that the first one is interim as Giants?
Well, it is cool going back home. It is cool going back home. But this is not about Antonio Pierce. This is about the Raiders. You know, we're trying to get our first divisional win against a really good opponent who's going to be hella motivated, well-coached, physical, tough. I mean, we got to bring our hard hats. You know, so this is really not about me going back home. I get to go back home whenever I want to in offseason. So this is a business trip, and that's how we're approaching it.
Another update. Jackson Powers-Johnson, is there a possibility that he can play on Sunday? Or?
I mean, he's ready to go. He's practicing. And, I mean, we'll all see how that works out.
In the past, you've talked about your kind of welcome to the NFL moment. Do you remember your first week one as an NFL player, just kind of like what's going through your mind and specifically like how that kind of relates to your players this week now?
Yeah, I mean, on the punt team, Tim DeWight ran back the punt return. I thought I was going to get fired on the spot with Marty Schottenheimer. So that was my, you know, welcome to the NFL moment, even though it wasn't my fault. You know, I'm out there with the other 10 gentlemen, but that was a little scary moment. But I think for all these gentlemen, especially our rookies and some of our young players, man, just – I think the cool thing about our team and our group is how they've rallied around one another and kind of set the expectations of what to expect, but you don't know what it's like to expect. Week one, I always say week one, the opening week of the playoffs and Super Bowl, those are two different speeds. Those are a lot of different speeds of football, and it really shows up for some of the younger guys, and hopefully we prep them the way we prepare and practice, and I think they got some really good reps in the preseason. So now that it'll be amped up a little bit and the guy across from you is the real deal.
About getting those good reps in the preseason, you know, how excited are you to really see that starting defensive unit really come together in week one?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think you look at the preseason and everybody's going to look at, you know, some negatives and things that happened. But I think more importantly, it was a great opportunity for us to gel and get those things out the way early and make those adjustments. And listen, what you think you were doing in practice, that's not working. You need to do it this way. Or did you understand what we're asking you to do here with technique-wise or the fundamental or what the scheme was asking you to do? So when you can put that on film, that gives us a great opportunity to teach off of that. But I am excited. It's a very motivated group in that room with Patrick Graham. It's an outstanding job. It's an outstanding job. Now we're starting to turn that heat up a little bit, right? Now the pot's starting to boil a little bit, starting to simmer a little bit for these guys. And I trust our defensive staff to make sure we're ready to play on Sunday.
Tony, you guys place a lot of emphasis on starting the season fast.
Yes.
From your experience, what does it take to pull that off?
Start the season fast. Can't beat yourself first and foremost, especially on the road, right? If I could start there. We're on the road. Can't beat ourselves. We got to handle adversity. We talked about adjustments. That's going to come up as well. Got to be penalty free there as well. Can't turn the ball over in good third down and red zone defense. All the things that we talked about and we worked on in this offseason and what we started with. But more importantly, man, it's less is more. I've probably said that before to you gentlemen. Sometimes when you're calling the game as a coordinator, or as a head coach, you want to throw everything out there in week one. And let's be realistic. You're still like in that training camp preseason mode now, right? Because a lot of stuff, not a lot of reps are there. So allow your players to play fast. Don't sit there and make it a thinking game. These gentlemen are physically of the 1% of the 1% of the world. Don't allow it to slow down mentally for them because you've got all these great schemes and ideas. So allow the players to play fast. That's going to be the key for us.
Tom Telesco said that this is a completely different team than last year. In what ways would you say that they're different?
The roster, the mentality, how we're starting, the expectations. We expect to win.
What have you seen in Gardner since you did the starting quarterback 3 weeks ago?
More vocal. I think when you're battling at a quarterback position, you got two guys there that were splitting time, who was talking, who's leading the pack. And listen, it's Gardner's show. He's running the show.
other side of the ball, you know, can you just talk about Christian Wilkins and what he's really added to that defensive line and what you think he'll add to the whole defense in general?
Yeah, man, listen, it's Max Crosby inside. I mean, Max shows up at 6, Christian's here at 6. Max leaves at 5, he's here at 5. You watch him practice, I mean, it's a thing of beauty when you have two of your best players that work as hard as anybody on the team. But more importantly, he's a perfectionist. I mean, he wants to prove, and you know, we all do that when you get paid, and you, even myself, you get in this position, I want to prove I deserve to get this job. Well, he's already done that, and that's why he's here. But he wants to be the best. You know, he's striving to be the best, no different than a lot of our players on the team. But what I love about him is the teammate. He's a great teammate. He's a good person, man. You see him bring over a lot of these young defensive tackles and work with them on the side. Not selfish at all. He wants to win.
In your experiences, what's the advantages or disadvantages from calling a game from the booth? And is there any conversations of having Luke Getsy upstairs or downstairs?
That's a good question. I mean, Patrick Graham's career started on the field. And last year, he made the change. And I think it was beneficial to all of us. Last year, when I took over, Bo called the game downstairs, and we moved him upstairs. And that was beneficial. So Luke is used to calling it downstairs, and I'm not going to change that until we need to.
You guys showed last year, last four games of the season with Zamir, a stout running game. How important is that to get for that to kind of carry over day one against the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, I think early on in the season, everybody wants to establish the run and stop the run. But I think for Zamir and our offensive line, it'd be good just to establish what we want it to look like. You know, coming off the rock, the wide zone, you know, hitting the edge, hitting it downhill. Zamir came back more physical, more explosive, bigger, stronger, faster. Didn't get a lot of touches in the preseason. It's just how it worked out because of the quarterback deal. But he'll have plenty of opportunities going for it.
Antonio, this is more an NFL question. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on the league having a game in Brazil, second game of the year, and also the emphasis more on streaming the product to fans.
Yeah, I think the Brazil game is pretty cool. I wish we were in Brazil right now. Our guys do too, but I played in the first game internationally with the Giants. We played in London. I thought that was a good experience. It's different. It was really different, but it's cool to see where the NFL wants to go, right? We boom, America done, number one sport. But to get that international, you got to go outside of our boundaries and get that fan base going. I'm looking forward to watching those two teams play. And I think streaming is no different than what you answer your question, just streaming. Just look at what we got here in this room. Nobody got, there's only three cameras in the back. Everybody else has a phone. That's just where it's going now.
Coach, kickoff returns went from 82% to 74 to 57% by week three of the preseason. Do you expect that kind of trend to continue? Do you think teams are going to start kind of kicking it out of bounds or out of the end zone? And I guess, what do you expect to see from the Chargers? No, you guys have a dangerous return game as well.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be based off each team's going to be different, though. You know, each team is going to be different. You know, if you got good returners, you might not want to kick it to those guys, right? Just go ahead and spot the ball at the 30 and go play football. I think it's going to change each and every week. You know, we'll approach it differently based off our opponent. But for us, we do like our returners, and we love to bring that ball out.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, everybody. That was Antonio Pierce's press conference, ended about 10 minutes ago. We don't know exactly what we're going to do here with that if it starts and ends this close to the start of the show at noon. But what we can announce is we'll be here every Wednesday at Raiders headquarters live on YouTube doing a really cool broadcast with players, NFL insiders, the coach. So we're really, really excited about that. That's something that we've been moving towards, and we're going to start it next Wednesday. So welcome in. We've got a big day today. Vinny Bonsignor is going to join us. Grant Irons, a Raider alumni. Great guy. What a great guy and good player. He was at Carl Weathers' star on the Walk of Fame with Mark Davis. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Levi Edwards in studio from the Raiders digital team. And I got to bring someone on the other side. And he used to be the king of the other side when it came to the Chargers. Former voice of the Chargers, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, will join us at 1:30, and he'll be good. And we'll dive in with him about this rivalry, what this game means. So I would just say this to everybody listening today. You want to get in this show today. Yesterday was the start. We came off Labor Day. We had a show lined up for you. We were happy about it. But today's go time. I just interviewed the coach, and we got a big lineup here. You want to get in? We need to know how to beat the Chargers now. The focus of the show is the game plan. Used to do that a lot. I'm doing it again this year. Wednesday is the day we put in the game plan. How do you beat the opponent? We're not looking ahead to Baltimore. We're not talking about down the road. We're not talking about future quarterbacks. Is Devontae going to be here forever? None of that. All we want to do today is look at the opponent on Wednesday and figure out how to beat them. I'll go first. I think the Chargers are a team now that could be very good a year or two from now. But the Raiders still have to find a way to beat this team at least once a year, if not twice. The Raiders roster is just as good as the Chargers, arguably better, with some of the players that left the Los Angeles Chargers over the last 12 months, period. Go position by position. But the Chargers have some strengths on this team. Their offensive line is better. Their quarterback is better. I don't think the edge rushers are better. No one's better than Max Crosby in this league, and Max's a hell of a player, and so is Bosa. But Bosa hasn't done much in this rivalry. He hasn't, other than trash-talking Derek Carr, the former quarterback. They're going to try to run the ball with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. They are going to try to be physical and push the Raiders off the line of scrimmage in this game and set up play action for Justin Herbert. Now, I don't know how good Herbert's going to look in this first game. I got to assume that he shouldn't be at his best because he missed most of training camp, most of it in a boot, and when he did play, he didn't play in the preseason, so he hadn't had any reps. He's not ready to go. If he comes out and plays well, I won't be shocked if he plays well, but he cannot have a great game. Herbert cannot throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns in this game. The Raiders have got to expect the Chargers to come out and want to establish the run and the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. As you just heard from head coach Antonio Pierce, I think they're ready to do that. I think they have a physical team with the addition of Christian Wilkins and obviously the depth of the team and some of the toughness of Robert Spillane, Max Crosby, and John Jenkins to come in there and play some bully ball. Look at this as a movie, kind of as a backyard brawl. When one gang shows up to the other gang and they stare at each other for 5 minutes before they throw down. This Raider team is as tough as they've been in a number of years because they're led by Max Crosby with the addition of Wilkins. The rest of the team, I think, can play more of a violent brand of football than we've seen in the last couple of years. The strength of the Raiders is their defense, led by Patrick Graham. He's been in this system a number of years now, and the players all know the system. They're young in the corner. They don't have a lot of depth. I think they're solid at safety. They'll play two linebackers most of the time because Nate Hobbs will play in the corner slot. He'll be a slot corner. He'll be a nickel-type player, so they'll play Diablo and obviously Spillane. They can go deep at that position, too. They have linebackers that can sub in and out. I don't know what to expect from Tyree Wilson in this game. This would be a good game for Tyree Wilson to show up. This would be a good game for Tyree Wilson to show up and say that he has arrived as a member of the Raiders and have a big game. He's going to be needed. I don't know how much he's going to be able to play. When it comes to the offensive side of the ball, we spend most of the offseason talking about this 12 personnel, the two tight end set. Leaving Michael Mayer on the field with Brock Bowers is essential. Not one plays, the other one goes to the bench, and they sub out each other. Both of these guys on the line of scrimmage, they're blockers. They were elite in college. Bowers, the greatest tight end in the history of college football. Michael Mayer, a Mackey Award winner. You got Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. I'd put that one and two up against anybody. I'm sure there's a few you might think that are better. I'll take Devontae and Jacoby Myers on third down to move the chains. And then you got Trey Tucker on the outside, who can make big plays, and I would hope that Gardner Minshew would take a couple of deep shots and test Derwin James early in this game and let him know. Let Derwin James know that there is a speedster on the Raiders and he's going to have to kind of stay to that side of the field. You heard Coach talk about Zamir White. I mean, I'm confused about what this kid can do. We just haven't seen him. You got to go back and watch tape at Georgia and then the final four games when he played for Josh Jacobs. What is he able to do in this game? He's physical. He's a downhill runner. I think if he breaks a tackle, if a linebacker comes over and misses him and he's able to make a miss, he could take it the distance. He's stronger and faster than he's ever been. I love the shape that he's in. Then it comes down to the coaching. And I mentioned Patrick Graham. We'll stay with Luke Getsy, who I think has an opportunity of a lifetime here. He comes in knowing what did not work for Josh McDaniels in the former regime. The former regime played very vanilla. They didn't have a lot of guys in motion. They didn't take shots. They didn't do much considering what they could do. They didn't. They almost felt like they were shutting it down and playing conservative in most games. Luke Getsy's a smart guy. He knows if he wants to keep this job, he's got to be different. I think you're going to see a new look to the Raider offense with men in motion. You're going to see a bunch of different routes that we didn't even get a look at at the open practices at Allegiant Stadium or in Costa Mesa, California. We didn't get a look at any of that. I mean, they were pure vanilla ice cream this entire offseason. Coach just mentioned it. Didn't see much from the Chargers. You didn't see much from the Raiders. Absolute chess game either way. But I think the coach, Antonio Pierce, who we just heard speak, is the type of guy that has them with this no-flinch mentality that we're expected to win, as he said. Did you catch that press conference when they were asking him questions about Howard Stern and streaming and other things? He said, look, this isn't about AP, it's about the Raiders. Antonio Pierce knows for him to win, keep his job, and be here forever, for a long period of time, this team has got to secure victories, and this is a big one on the field. You're opening up the season against the LA Chargers. You're not at Kansas City. You're not playing the 49ers. This is a game that the Raiders should win. They're a three-point underdog on the road. You get three in any game for being at home. This is a pick 'em game, in my opinion. The Raiders also have an advantage on special teams with A.J. Cole and Daniel Carlson. They're better than the Chargers' punter and kicker. That's no debate. I think the game's going to come down to the kicking game. I really do. I think the Raiders are going to win the game on a Carlson field goal. I don't know if they'll be ahead and stop the Chargers on a fourth down, or they're going to be behind and they're going to win on a field goal. But the Raiders' special teams and kicking game is going to have to play big along the way. So I'm live from Raider facility. You are in the building with me today. You are in the building today with the coaches and the players. They listen to the show in this office. I know that to be true. Sound off like you got a pair. Wake the hell up. Get ready to go and match my energy. I told you this is my Super Bowl. I told you that I'm all in on this game. I don't feel like anybody else is with me. I'm all in. This is our Super Bowl for me. Okay? Whatever happens, happens. I'll be here following Monday. Got to win this game. Got to win this game at all costs, and you got to be behind this team right now. We'll see what happens. But you don't doubt me. I'm ready to roll. I've been talking all offseason about this game. If it was Carolina at home, if it was at Jacksonville, you wouldn't hear me do this. It's the Chargers. I have a deep disdain for that organization. The fact that they left San Diego, one of America's finest cities, took away a road trip every year from us in a Raider Nation home game as L.A. drove down like Mad Max beyond Thunderdome. Now we need the Raiders to do it again. And every Raider fan I'm calling out this week. And we'll see what happens to you after this week. The hardcore Raider fans know where to find me. But this week, every Raider fan I'm calling out, no matter where you are nationally, all over the globe, this is Raider Nation. This is a game we have to have. It feels like a must-win game. Of course it's not. It feels like that to me. I'm excited. 702-365-9200. Let's get ready to go. Grant Irons will join us. He's a good storyteller. He's a former player. We'll get his prediction and update on what's happening with the Raiders in the game when we come back. The monologue brought to you by PT's, 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. PT's fuels the monologue and gets me excited to come into the studio every day. JT, live from Raiders headquarters on what feels like the first day of school. Yesterday felt like everyone was coming and going after Labor Day. Now it's Raider Nation Day. The day where Raider fans are expected to sound off like they got a pair. Let's get rolling today. We're in the building for a reason, to kick off the season with a win.
You know, that's their decision. You know, at the end of the day, that's the offensive side of the ball. They got to do, you know, they got to make that decision for, you know, this team and figure out who's the best guy to do it. So whoever that guy's going to be, that's ultimately on, you know, AP and the front office and, the coaches, you know, that are with them every single day. So, yeah, I'm staying out of that. But, you know, for me, my opinion is the best man is going to win. You know, I want the guy who's going to go out there and help us win football games. So that's truly all that matters to me.
You mentioned the young guys. Are the young guys have caught your attention so far in the camp and preseason?
All right, so that was Max Crosby right before the decision, and it was a big decision on the quarterback, and they go with Gardner Minshew. JT, Back with you as we continue. We're brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, a total new remodel, parts of it, the pool. If you're looking for a great hookup from me, you can get a pool key to go out there, have a great time. It's fantastic. Go look at Virgin Hotels again. Go see what they're doing with gaming, restaurants, dining, the Shag Room, and those great concerts that they put on there in the theater. Excited to talk to Raider alumni Grant Irons, who joins us on Once a Raider, Always a Raider. Played for the Silver and Black from 2003 to 2006, an edge rusher, defensive end, linebacker. He could do it all, and he's been around the Raider alumni the last couple of weeks as much as anybody. Grant, good to talk to you. How are you, my friend?
Hey, JT the Brick. Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you today because the alumni department, you've been pretty active with Wellness Weekend, the Alumni Weekend, but you were just out at the Carl Weathers Star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It was so cool to see you out there with Mark Davis, Phil Villapiano, the Plunkets. Walk us through that and what that meant to you to be included.
It was amazing. I mean, the whole weekend, shout out to Mark Davis, shout out to a lot of different people that came out putting it together. Christine, longtime partner of Carl, and also Matt and Jason, his sons. It's interesting, for me, an interesting story. My father, Gerald Irons, actually played 2 years with Carl Weathers.
Right.
So played 2 years with Carl. They were roommates coming in their rookie year. They actually were, they did a lot together. And so a lot of respect from Carl Weathers. I mean, he's just amazing to see the impact he has had on not only athletics, not only in acting, but just in life. So many positivity, so many impactful moments he has had.
Grant Irons is our guest. Grant, it's interesting because I'm sure growing up as a kid, knowing that your dad was so close to Carl Weathers, when you saw Rocky for the first time, because you're still a young guy, but that movie comes out and you watch it again and again, I thought that was one of the greatest roles in a sports movie, an Academy Award winning movie, because everybody thinks of Stallone, but I thought Weathers carried that movie at times. It was a tremendous role, an iconic role for him.
Totally agree with you. I mean, he really embodied that role. And to see his leadership, his tenacity, I mean, it's one of the things, one of the best motivational movies of all times, right? And for me, it's always inspired me every time I watch it. When I'm getting ready for a season or getting ready in business, I love to watch, the Rocky movies, get you pumped up. I mean, you got to feel good about it.
Absolutely. Grant Irons is our guest, so he's been around the alumni a lot. He's a valued alumni. You're a part of health and wellness, and on top of that, the alumni weekend, over 250-plus alumni plus a guest there, and you come back every year. You're a guy I see at all those events, and how cool was that to see all those players and the alumni, especially some of the elder statesmen in the Winfield Club having such a good time?
It was amazing, JT. I mean, I always love seeing you. I have to give a shout out to Mark, give a shout out to Sandra Douglas Morgan, but I really want to give a shout out to the Alumni Relations Department led by Shannon Jordan, right? That team by far is the best of the best in the NFL and of all the sports. They understand, I say that because they understand the pulse of alumni players, right? When you hear the mantra, once a Raider, always a Raider, I mean, they embody that. And they, each and every day, they find innovative ways to get alumni involved, feel part of the program, feel part of the team, and all from a former player's perspective, we truly appreciate it.
Grant Irons joins us, once a Raider, always a Raider. So I got to get into this game. I almost blew a blood vessel on the side of my head trying to get these fans going for this game. This is a massive game, a massive game. You were just in L.A. You were in Hollywood. Yeah. You were in and around there. What is the vibe of the Raider Nation? Their largest fan base is in Los Angeles, and they're coming out for a road game against Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Yeah. Big moment. Does it feel that big for you as an alumni? It feels that way for me as a radio guy.
Absolutely. It feels huge. I mean, you got to think, when I played with the Raiders, Jim Harbaugh was my quarterback coach when I was there, right? Mm-hmm. So, and being in L.A., the vibe, I mean, even at the Star, Walk of Fame, there were Raider fans everywhere. And it was pretty cool to see that. And, just the Raider Nation loved the Raider Nation, they've always supported wherever we go across the country. And I know they're going to be out in San Diego.
Absolutely, and I love how you said San Diego because it's now Inglewood, but that is not a mistake because a lot of people think of the San Diego Chargers.
LA,
That's okay. Yep. We all do that. But I want to ask you about the toughness of this team. I just spoke to Antonio Pierce about an hour ago, and he's trying to make sure this is a more physical team. It's led by Max Crosby. You've been around Max when you see him in the building. You played that position. What does Max bring to this game, this rivalry, as his career continues to ascend?
I love the question. One of the things that Max sets him apart from all other players is that he has extreme focus, right? Extreme focus that he takes one play at a time, and he really wants to make the most of it. Whatever happens, no matter what, that play, he puts that play behind him, and he wants to get better each and every play. And the great players, as you know, you've been around football for so long, they have a relentlessness to them, right? They're always, each and every day, each and every play, of getting better. One thing I just will say, hey, one of the things that one of the mentors that I've had the opportunity, and thanks to Alumni Relations Department, I've met Dr. Mark Harrison. He used to be a former CEO Intermountain Healthcare, and now he's a big partner with General Catalyst. He always, one thing he would always say is RFP, relentless for progress, right? You got to be relentless. You got to constantly move forward, and you will have progress. That's what Matt Crosby brings each and every play.
You're the perfect guy to kick off our week coverage in L.A. You just got back there on behalf of Carl Weathers and his family. Thanks. You were with Mark Davis in the alumni department. Thanks for doing this. I hope to see you out here soon again. Let's get after it and get this win.
Hey, thank you, JT, the Brick. Appreciate you. Always
appreciate you. You got it. Grant Irons, good guy. Really valued member of the alumni here. Great player at Notre Dame and played for the Raiders 03, 04, 5, and 6, 4 years. And once a Raider, always a Raider. Brought to you by M Resort. Spa and Casino, the official resort hotel of the Silver and Black. Yeah, we're just trying to pick up the pace with the energy here. I'm just sensing, just from going around, a lot of fans understand. A lot of fans right now are nervous. That's my opinion. That's the way this show sounds. From the phones, from the tweets, from what I'm seeing, it feels like fans are nervous, like they don't know what's going to happen. I need to connect with some fans who want to predict something positive, and let's get this off to a good start. It's a big game. It's a big game. Vinny Bonson, you're in studio at the top of the hour as we continue on. Let's get out to Epic Raider Mike in Colorado. Go ahead.
Oh, JT, this Epic Raider in Colorado, man.
Oh, Epic Raider. Good to have you, man. Let's fire it up. I've been looking for you. Way to go.
Hey, man, we are feeling the energy up here in the 719, man. I'm ready to run through the wall, son. I can't wait. You know what I'm saying?
Where are you watching the game on Sunday?
I'm not sure yet. Probably over at G Raiders' house. My man knows how to throw down the party, boy.
Yeah, you got to watch it with Raider fans, man. You don't want to go to a bar in Colorado. I'm sure there'll be some Raider fans there, but you want to lock in for this one with Raider Nation.
Man, tell everybody to go to G Raiders' house. He puts on the spread. It's just, I'm telling you. Anyways, we got this, man. We're the better team. We got the better players. We got this.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the rosters are pretty similar. The Chargers are better at quarterback. I think they're better on the offensive line, just a little bit better. But the Raiders, everywhere else, I think they match up well. And I'm excited to see what happens in this game. The Raiders, if they play physical and control the line of scrimmage and are able to establish the run, and Gardner Minshew can get these tight ends going early, I think the Raiders are going to have a few explosive plays in L.A.
I do, too, and I agree with what you said. We went through this with Rich Gannon, and he was fine. Gardner Minshew is going to be fine.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate the call. He makes a good point at the end. There's a lot of people that are concerned or at least want to see Gardner Minshew, and I get that. I understand that. There's a lot of fans out there that want to see Gardner Minshew play his first game as a Raider, see how he plays before they're going to evaluate him. That's fine. I can't do that. I got a game coming up on Sunday. I got to assume that Gardner Minshew, who's won games in this league, has put up good numbers, is going to be calm, cool, and collective and ready to come out there and play a big game. Not that Aiden O'Connell couldn't do it, but this would have been a big stage for Aiden O'Connell to go back for a road opener where he was sacked 6 times against Khalil Mack. I think we all understand why Gardner Minshew is starting in this game. His mobility, his ability to make plays out of the pocket could be the key to this game. Could be the key in the Baltimore game, the Cleveland game, the Carolina game. But let it be said, Gardner Minshew is only going to get so many games to prove that he can win. This is about winning. And Aiden O'Connell won down the stretch. Helped Antonio Pierce secure the job as head coach of the Raiders. So now we got to step up and get behind Gardner Minshew and hope that he can make some big plays. I think he can. But I, what I'm asking for everybody to understand here with him as we talk about the game plan today, this is the game plan today that we're talking about. What do you believe the Raiders need to do at the L.A. Charger game that could be the difference in the game? I'll go first. I think the Raiders need to move the pocket. Minshew's got to be mobile with design plays where he's moving and checking down to Bowers and Michael Mayer over the middle of the field for easy pitch and catch first downs. I repeat, move the pocket, sprint away from Bosa or Mack, do what you got to do, and just dump it off to the tight ends 7-8 yards downfield and let them run after catch. It's hard to tackle Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. These guys are really tough to bring down. We know what Devontae can do and Jacoby. And if the running game gets going early in this game, I think that Gardner Minshew will attack. Throw a deep ball. Throw maybe two deep balls to Trey Tucker. Even if one's incomplete, at least send a message to the Chargers that the Raiders came to air it out. Raiders have a lot going for them in this game. They're healthy. As you heard, Brock Bowers is good to go. He'll be out there today. He was asked about that a few times, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. This is a must-win game for me. Might not be for you. Must-win games kind of come and go. Usually it's an elimination game for the playoffs. Usually it's a game you have to win or you're eliminated for the playoffs. I understand the difference. But this is one of the biggest tone setters I've seen for the Raiders in a long, long time. This will set the tone for the Raiders season if they can get this win. I really believe that. Snow Raider is out in Tahoe, one of the most glorious spots on earth. Raider country, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Bobby. Thanks, JT. I am fired up for Sunday. I'm going over to my buddy's house. We'll be looking at Big Blue. Raider Rhino. He's originally from L.A. Like we said, this is our home team. It's a home game. Even though we're on the road, I think it's going to be good for the team to focus, match the energy, and surpass the energy for their new head coach. I'm going 17-14 Raiders, baby.
Ooh, 17-14. That's a heart attack. 17-14, that's a little too close for comfort, my friend. We don't get over 20?
I don't know. I think what you said earlier, special teams is going to play an important part. Both defenses are going to be fired up. And, I think there's just too much going on with the Chargers. You know, new regime, new players and stuff to get all that fired up and firing all cylinders. When the Raiders, we finished strong last year. We had the mini camp away. I just think the mojo is ready to go. We're going to roll in there in the Chevy and show what Raider Nation's all about.
Way to go, Tahoe. Appreciate Snow Raider. Thanks for coming in here. Low-scoring game. Yeah, low-scoring game. I'm going to look for some predictions later on in the week as it's only Wednesday of this week as we get ready to go. Also, on a side note, today is my 25-year wedding anniversary. And I like the shout-outs that I got from some people in the building, and I'm excited about that. I got a great wife, and 25 years today, to the day, we threw one hell of a party in Vegas. And since then, we got two young boys that we love and great kids and a lot of great memories in front of us to come. So I got a big night tonight, even though it's a Wednesday. I've had a couple of big weekends leading up to this, but I'm going to shake it off and have a nice evening with my wife and celebrate 25 years as we kick off our Raiders coverage. Next hour, Vinny Bonsignore at the top of the hour. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton and Levi Edwards all scheduled to join us. Brought to you by the DeCastaverde Law Group. You hear a lot of these law groups. Testosterones, motorcycles, we never lose, we're the best. Bunch of bogus garbage. I got Alex and Orlando Castaverde. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. Taken from the great legacy of their father and their family, La Familia, the DeCastaverde Law Group. If you get into an accident or injured, 702-222-9999.
I think it's just a little difficult this time because we haven't seen anything on film. You know, in preseason, he didn't play any of his starters. A lot of guys didn't show up on tape. So you got to go back in the archives, right? You got a little bit of Michigan. You got maybe some Baltimore, some Niners stuff you can look at. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to make some adjustments in the game, and that's what we're prepared to do.
That's Antonio Pierce, who I spoke to right before the show began. So we'll have Antonio Pierce every Wednesday and probably play him on the show either Wednesday or Thursday. Trying to figure out what we're going to do with that here. There's a lot of moving parts as we're live from Raiders headquarters and thrilled to be here. We'll be here every Wednesday and then every Monday. Eric Allen and I will be up here early in the morning to do a segment for one of the television shows that I'm hosting with EA with Rich Gannon. So we're going to have a deep dive segment every Monday with Rich Gannon, which we'll also repurpose here on this show, and I think it's going to be really good. How can it not? It'll be the great Rich Gannon on this show. So when I get off the air Sunday night at 11 p.m. on Mad Dog, I'll be back here at 8 a.m. to sit down with Rich Gannon all year long. Thursday coming up here, we have Ravens Chiefs, and then we have the Friday game in São Paulo, Brazil, Packers and the Eagles. So we're keeping an eye on not just the Raiders, but all the other matchups that are out there. Sal in Vegas on 920. Thanks for calling, Sal. What's happening?
Hey, JT, happy anniversary to you.
Thanks,
and your wife, man.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate all your hard work you're doing for us and the Raider Nation and keeping us posted with everything and all the good broadcasting, man. I appreciate you, man. I just want to say, man, this game right here, if you're not fired up for a game, this is the game that we should be fired up for. This is the chance that we're going to get to show a repeat of what happened last season. We're going to go ahead and go in there. We're going to have him running for his life, Herbert, and we're going to see some Jack stealing some pick sixes, and we're going to take the lead quick, and it's going to be over before they even know it. And I hope once this goes on that everybody can see finally that our defense is for reals, and that's what I'm hoping to see this Sunday, JT.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate the compliments. It's going to have to be a big statement game for what's going to happen with the Raiders' defense because the Chargers are looking to have some balance. And I would call BS on the Chargers wanting to run the ball because I've seen Justin Herbert pretty much play every game in this rivalry knowing that the Chargers love to throw the ball. Harbaugh's a former quarterback, but he wants to run it. He had J.J. McCarthy at Michigan, and they ran the ball hard. They wanted to set the tone at the line of scrimmage, and they got the players to do that. They drafted Joe Alt in the first round. He's going to be a beast eventually, but he's never played in a game just yet. So he's going to have to block Max Crosby or Malcolm Kuntz or Tyree Wilson or someone coming off the edge. And in regards to Jack Jones, Jack's going to be a ball hawk. Jack's just got to be careful. There's going to be times where he goes for the ball, and if he doesn't win, he could get beat. He got beat in the preseason on a play pretty bad, and he put it right behind him and said he's good. Jack's a good player. On the other side is going to be Jacorian Bennett. You got to assume that Jim Harbaugh and the Charger offense is going to look to expose him, try to attack him, and the Raiders got to be aware of that. And I think the Raiders will be aware of that and get him some help with the safety over the top. And he's a good young player. He's physical. Jacorian had a good preseason. I think the way he improved in the offseason helped him easily win that job. And also the Raiders and Tom Telesco didn't want to go out and get another cornerback, a veteran quarterback, because I think they feel very happy with the corners that they have there. They drafted two other cornerbacks. One didn't make it. One did. Depth of corner is important to me and concerning. If a cornerback goes down on the Raiders and is injured, there could be a big problem going forward. That cannot happen. Allen in Vegas on 920. Good to hear from Vegas today. What's going on, Allen?
Hey, JT. I know all the hype is on Brock Bowers, and rightfully so. I'm rooting for him, too. But Michael Mayer, man, stud tight end at Notre Dame, he deserves a whole lot more, man. First eight games last season, 11 catches on 17 targets. No, he deserves a whole lot better, man. He deserves at least five looks a game, five targets. I think between him and Bowers, if they can get a touchdown between them, hopefully two, I think will be good. I'm going to call my score right now, JT. I'm going to say 27-24. Raiders on the road.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great score. That's kind of what I expect it to be. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I think the game will be in the 20s. I think I said Raiders 23-21 yesterday. I think it'll be around that game. It's going to be a low-scoring game, but into the 20s. I'd like to know your vision of how this game's going to play out. That could be an explosive game. You can have a kick return. You can have a punt return. Who knows? But we know that both of these teams are going to want to establish the run, and the Chargers especially have not played in this system yet. And the Chargers are going to want to make sure that they come out in this game, I think, play a conservative game plan against the Raiders. I don't think they're going to want to throw it all over the yard because Herbert didn't get a lot of work in the offseason because of the foot injury. So Herbert can play. He's got Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Those are good players. Joshua Palmer. I was looking at the wide receivers on this team, the ones that are healthy coming into the game. They got some tall, big receivers who can make plays. Palmer out of Tennessee, 6'1", 215, strong, big physical guy, can go up and get the ball. They got Ladd McConkey playing in his first game. He was teammates of Brock Bowers at Georgia. He's a nice wide receiver, kind of kind of Hunter Renfrow type player in a lot of ways. They're going to look to identify him early in this game. But the player that I'm most concerned about in the matchup would be Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver out of TCU, 6'4", 215 pounds. He's big. He was their first-round pick last year of the 21st pick overall. He could be a problem. He could be a problem because he can go get all those 50-50 balls. Last year, he played 17 games. He had 38 receptions, 431 yards, and 2 touchdowns. From everyone I've talked to in and around L.A. and some of the insiders, and we got Lee Hacksaw Hamilton coming up next hour, they're going to want to make him a priority. He's going to be the player that they want to see him get the ball if they're not running the ball. So when they go three wide, they got three good wide receivers. But they're not better than the Raiders, who can go three wide with Devontae, Jacoby Myers, and Trey Tucker. Everybody around the league will take those three. Now, if the Raiders had Justin Herbert as a quarterback, they don't. Would it be more dangerous? Possibly, but Gardner Minshew says the hell with that. I'm the quarterback. Vinny Bonsignore at the top of the hour. That wrapped up hour number one. Remember, every Wednesday we're live from the Raiders. Sign up for the Raiders YouTube. I'm assuming you have it already. And it'll broadcast what we're doing in the studio live with all the insiders who will be live in studio with me. Exciting times from Raiders headquarters. Hour number two coming up next. Brought to you by the 872 Laborers.